It's a story about a daddy and his little baby son. Son's name was Jerry. Jerry always seemed to have trouble whenever on a Saturday night his daddy would take him to Walmart. Jerry would whine and cry and complain. So this time, his daddy decided to make a bargain with Jerry. If Jerry behaved himself, while his daddy went to shopping, daddy would take him to a movie and buy him popcorn and a soda. Deal, said little Jerry. But the deal fell apart when Jerry began to whine as soon as they walked into Walmart. The daddy noticed that Jerry's shoelaces were come undone, so he knelt down and began to tie the shoelaces. Jerry grabbed his daddy's sleeve, holding on for dear life. And while his daddy was on his knees, he saw things from Jerry's point of view. Shoppers were pushing and shoving one another. A box crashed loudly like a gunshot. And Jerry kept getting hit in the head with bags as people passed them. His dad realized how scary this place, any kind of shopping mall, really is for a five-year-old. So finally, two shoes tied, his dad lifted Jerry up and placed him on top of his shoulders and said, Jerry, let's go to that movie. The Feast of Corpus Christi is about that. God was trying to figure out, why were we afraid? I mean, even just 50 years or 70 years ago, if you will, I was afraid of God. I went to confession every single week. I used to make up sins just in case I forgot any, and if I die on the way home, so I would say, well, I was uncharitable 34 times. Sound like a good number. I'd lied, whatever I did, talk back to my mother. Well, I'd make up stuff so that, God forbid, that this God who was just waiting to get me and send me to purgatory for all eternity, not forever, but so that I could finally get to heaven, that I was raised up to be scared of God. And maybe that's just our culture in this neighborhood, in this area around here. There's too many Germans maybe around here. I don't know what it was, but we were scared. God was like not a daddy, but a father. A father was somebody who was saying, don't let your mother get on my nerves when I get home, because then I'm going to get you twice. I used to get two spankings, one from my mother, then I get another one from my daddy because my mother got upset and she was going to get even with him, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, God didn't want us to be afraid. We were like little Jerry, little five-year-old Jerry, that we were overwhelmed by this world. And so in order to help us not be afraid, in order for us to have somebody who would think that, what does it feel like to be sick? What it feels like to be rejected? What does it feel like to have a divorce? What does it feel like to have death? What does it feel like to make mistakes again and again and again and screw up your life? What does it feel like? How can this God understand anything like that? How can this, when I was in philosophy, they called God the unmoved mover. Well, how romantic is that? The unmoved mover? That's not the God of Jesus Christ. That may be the God of some German nuns and German priests, but it ain't the God of Jesus Christ. Jesus came here, it's all about Exodus. It's all about freedom. It's all about relief from sin. When I grew up, communion and Eucharist was for good little boys and good little girls. You didn't go to communion if you didn't go to confession first. It's just like I've been working for 10 years in his Latino community, and they're still like we were 50 years ago. They don't go to communion because they think they're not worthy. Why do we feel unworthy? Of course we are. Who is worthy to be in the presence of Almighty God, not just in the presence, but to be hugged and loved and be part of this God? God is like the eternal mother. As we come forth from our mothers, so we came forth from God, and our goal is to go back, to be back with God, to be one with God again. Our DNA is made in the image and likeness of God. And so communion is not for good little boys and girls. Actually, it's for bad little boys and girls. So all you good ones, you can leave. The rest of you stay, because we need Eucharist. We need communion. We need to be forgiven. I mean, the primary sacrament of reconciliation, the primary sacrament of confession, the primary sacrament of forgiveness is the Eucharist. There's no confession, and for 1,000 years, at first comes the Eucharist. When you come forward here, you cannot come forward as a sinner. You can only come forward and take the body and take the blood and take it inside of you and be forgiven from everything that you have done. I mean, you can't possess, be part of God and part of Jesus Christ without having everything forgiven from you. That's why he died. That's why he lived, so that you and I could be forgiven from everything and we can become part of him. It's really, my homily day is called To Become What You Eat. The goal is that you and I take Jesus inside of us, and then when we go out of this building, we don't just go home to watch television. We don't just go home to be everything to be like it is until next Saturday night when we come back again. That when we go out, we take Jesus with us. We are Jesus for one another. We are the hands, the mind, the body, the everything. We are the Corpus Christi, and we're supposed to take that out and make a difference in our world. I have to read this for you. I did this a few years ago when I was at Nativity, and it's wonderful. I never knew this, but this is the true fact that 50 some odd years ago, two human beings changed history by walking on the surface of the moon. But what happened for Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong as they exited the lunar module is perhaps even more amazing than anything we saw on television. Buzz Aldrin was an elder in his church in Texas. And knowing that he would soon be doing something unprecedented in human history, landing on the moon, he felt he should mark the occasion somehow, and he asked his pastor to help him. And so the pastor consecrated the bread, consecrated the wine, and gave him communion to take with him on the moon. And Buzz Aldrin took with him out of Earth's orbit, on the surface of the moon, the body and blood, the Corpus Christi of Jesus Christ. Buzz Aldrin and Armstrong had only been on the lunar surface for a few minutes when Aldrin made the following public statement. This is the lunar module pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and give thanks in his or own way to God. He then ended his radio communication on the silent surface of the moon, 250,000 miles from home, and he read a verse from John's Gospel, and he took communion. He took the body and blood of Jesus Christ in him on the moon. He said, the reason you and I didn't hear about this was they were having that big controversy back then with, what was her, Madeline Murray O'Hare, about atheism, and so they didn't. This wasn't reported to us, but it happened on the moon. It said that, let me look at this. So he ate a tiny host and swallowed the wine. It's the first communion on the Sea of Tranquility. It was interesting for me to think the very first liquid ever poured on the moon, the very first food eaten on the moon, were the elements of communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's interesting to think that some of the first words spoken on the moon were the words of Jesus. He made the earth and he made the moon. And his immortal words said, love that moves the sun and moves the stars. So you and I are here today. Maybe we won't process around the parking lot, but hopefully we'll process inside our hearts. And that when you come forward today, I mean, don't come forward like turkeys, right, waiting to gobble. Come forward and really realize that this is really the most important time of your week. It's the most important time of your life. That we too are explorers. and we're going to take this Eucharist outside. So today I just challenge you to become what you eat, to become Jesus for one another.